morning for the reading of the Word of God, please. We'll bring the message the Lord has laid upon our heart for this day. Isn't it good to be saved this morning, afternoon, whatever time? I guess it's already in the afternoon. Boy, I'll tell you, we're right on schedule today, ain't we? Amen. This would drive the first church crazy. As you know, Tabernacle, when I went there, their church service started at 12 o'clock every Sunday. And that's because they did a live radio broadcast on another radio station. That's before they bought TBI. And it started at 12 o'clock. That's the time they got. So for years, their church service was at 12 o'clock. And so this is nothing kind of unusual to Brother Hall. I got kind of used to this down there. All right, I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm 97, please. We're going right on through the Psalms. Amen. Psalm number 97 in the Word of God. I want to begin reading in verse 1. Read all 12 verses by the help and grace of our Lord. The psalmist said, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw it and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for righteousness, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Amen. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today, most of all, for the cross of Calvary, the place where you died and gave your life, that sinners, Lord, might come to God and be forgiven of all their sin. I rejoice this morning, Father, in what you've done for me, my family. Thank God for all the years that, Lord, that you've led us through this life and blessed us and helped us. I thank you for the church this morning and their faithfulness, their dedication, their devotion to God, their labor of love and work of faith. I thank you, Lord, for what was done on the marathon, for the work and labor and the food. Thank you for the food that's been prepared this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this Thanksgiving week as we look to you and, Lord, do our best to be mindful and remember those things that you've granted to us through our prayers and the desires of our heart. We want to be thankful for them, meditate upon them, praise you for them. I pray now, Lord, that you'd bless the preacher as I do my best this morning to glorify your name, to magnify you amongst the people. Lord, that they likewise might stand and give glory to your wonderful name. Have your will and way in every heart. Save sinners. Bless and help the sick, the afflicted. Help those that are not here today. Give good grace to every soul here. And bless and grant liberty, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. All right. I want to call our attention this morning to verse number 1 of our psalm, where the psalmist said, "The Lord reigneth." The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Amen. Now, I want to try to say many things down through this psalm to you this morning. and preach on those first three words out of that verse for a little while. If God would help me this morning, on the Lord reigneth. Amen. The Lord reigneth. I'm glad the psalmist, whoever wrote this, recognized that, realized that, and pinned it down in the Word of God, and God preserved it for us. That ought to be a great incentive for you and I to serve the Lord, knowing that the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that. Man does not reign. The devil does not reign, but the Lord reigneth. And because he does, he said, let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth, let everybody, or let all the earth rejoice in the Lord. I want to say a few things just by way of introduction. I'll just be a couple of minutes and get right into the thoughts. But I want to remind you that this psalm is another of the series of psalms which celebrate the advent of Jehovah as King. And I want to put this in right here this morning by way of a little information for some of you. We take John's Gospel chapter 1 where it said the Lord, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Amen. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when that Bible said there, he came unto his own received him not. The Lord came to offer Israel at that time the kingdom of heaven. Amen. As a nation. And they received him not. Israel rejected him as their king and crucified the Prince of Glory. Peter said that in his first address on the day of Pentecost. Amen. But to as many, he goes from a nation to persons, to individuals. Amen. As many as received him, Amen. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And they rejected him then, but there is coming a time when the Lord God will, Jehovah will come to this earth. And the earth will proclaim, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And he will. Now, listen carefully. There are seven of these psalms in this series. The 93rd being the first, and it closes out with the 100 is the last. The 94th psalm is not in this series that deals with our Jehovah as our coming King. Now, the psalm looks beyond what we call the rapture of the church or the catching away of those that are dead in Christ. In First Thessalonians chapter number 4, Paul deals with that first coming or the first advent of our Lord in the clouds, where he says there in verse 13 of chapter 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We're not going to stand in their way, and we're not going before them. That's what that word prevent means, that we're not going before those that have died in Christ. You that have loved ones in here today that have died in Christ, amen, if you're alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord, you're not going before them. He plainly tells us, for we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to know what it is like to have victory over the grave. If we're alive and remaining, we'll never know what it's like to have victory over the grave. But if we die in Christ, we're going to have a great understanding of what it means to come out of that grave and have victory over that hole in the ground that men call a grave. Amen. For that body has been resting. And he said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, The psalm that I just read to you goes well. It goes well beyond. It goes well beyond the first advent of our Lord. In fact, it goes to that second part of the coming of our Lord. 7 years after Thessalonians chapter 4, He is coming back to this earth. That's what the psalmist is writing about when he said, "The Lord reigneth." That's He's talking about His return to this earth. Now notice what the Lord says about that, and I'll get to the message in a minute. I want to read some. It won't hurt you to hear Scripture. It won't hurt any of us a bit to hear the Word of God. And here's what He said in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Paul said, Peter said, John said, I'll get it right in a minute, Peter, James, and John, that's all three of them, ain't it? But John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? His name, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and was not anything made that was made without Him. Hallelujah to God. He is the Word of God. And it said, the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Now there's one more verse I want to read you about the second advent in the book of Daniel before I get into the text. In Daniel and chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 13, I believe it is. Daniel said, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the people, nations, and languages should serve him." Boy, hey, I'm telling you, when he comes to the earth, he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and I'm telling you, everybody's going to serve him. It's hard to get Baptists that claim to be saved to serve him now. But when he comes and the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, all mankind on this earth and every nation on this earth will serve the Lord. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. They'll serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The Bible said, "And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom." Hallelujah! No wonder God's people said, "Hallelujah! For the saints of the earth shall take the kingdom." And I'm going to tell you, we'll take it because our Lord reigneth. Amen. Our Lord reigneth. That's right. They shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. Even forever and ever. That's a long time, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "What are you preaching on?" The Lord reigneth. That's right, the Lord reigneth. Now, and I've said this word so many times, I'm afraid I'll scare some of you to death. But I only see four things here I want to mention, a few things underneath that. But I see, first of all, the coming of the sovereign. the coming of the sovereign. Boy, I want us to understand that He is a sovereign God. Now, there's a lot of discussion about what all He's sovereign over. Well, He's sovereign over everything. The Lord reigneth. And for Him to reign, that means that He has the power to reign. And He already said when He went out, when He left the earth the first time, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so He has the power to reign upon this earth. He is, He is the Lord God. And He will reign upon this earth someday. He's coming back. Hallelujah to God. And it won't be in a manger. And He won't die on a cross. He's coming back on a horse and a sword out of His mouth. Hallelujah. And He's coming to reign the nations of this world. Hallelujah. And He's a sovereign. He is a sovereign God. You can say amen or oh me now. He's sovereign. Now what about His coming? Well, I can't do it justice. But I want to say that His coming is majestic. Amen. Woo! You're talking about a majestic event in the world. It's going to be a time like nothing else that mankind has ever seen. Boy, I want to thank Him for Calvary. But I'll tell you, He came to the cross in humility. And died, if I may use the word, in what mankind would call weakness. But I'm telling you, He's not coming in weakness the next time He comes. He's coming with a vesture dipped in blood, easily recognized as the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, because the blood on His vesture will prove that to mankind. And He's got a name written that says the Word of God. They're going to know who He is. They're going to know who He is. Thank God. Amen. It'll be a majestic coming. I want you to notice these things. He said in verse number 2, clouds and darkness are around Him. Clouds and darkness are around about Him. He said in verse number 3, and fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies. I consider that to be very majestical. When the clouds and darkness are around Him. Now, that's hard to understand, clouds and darkness around Him. And a fire at the same time. But I want you to listen carefully. These images, the images given here in these verses, are suggested by the theophany, that is the appearance of deity upon the earth, at the giving of the law on Sinai. If you go back and read in the book of Exodus, when the Lord God descended down upon Mount Sinai, there were thunderings, there were lightnings, there was darkness, amen, and the whole, it said Sinai, the whole mountain was on fire, and there was much smoke on that mountain. Somebody said, well, what are you saying? I'm saying on Sinai, He came to give the law. That is, He came to give a law that would judge humanity, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and when He comes a second time, He's going, and His eyes are like a flame of fire. He's riding upon that white horse. And and darkness is around Him, and the clouds are about Him, and a fire is going before Him. He's letting this world know that He is coming to judge this world once again. He's coming as the judge. Get this now. He's coming to let people know that He is the judge, and He is the lawgiver. Somebody said, now, preacher, how do you know that? Well, did not Abraham call Him the judge of all the earth? Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, He's coming to judge the earth in righteousness. Now, I'm not talking about the white throne. I'm not talking about the judgment seat. I'm talking about He's coming to judge the earth in righteousness. Somebody said, preacher, how do you explain that? when Israel come out of Egypt, they all went to Moses, and Moses judged their descendants, the things that they brought before him. He would make judgment upon them. May I say to you that Jesus' judgment is going to be true, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. In truth, he's going to judge this world. You better believe he is. And there will no heart escape his judgment. People have got the idea today they can hide things from God. You ain't hiding nothing from God. He searches the hearts and tries the reins and knows more about you than you know about yourself. Amen. Brother, when he comes on that white horse, he's coming as judge and lawgiver. Amen. That is exactly right. He's a divine lawgiver and judge. Now notice this. Unspeakable fear will fill men's hearts. Get a hold of this. Men must either bow to his scepter or else they'll die to his sword. You get a hold of that, I'm talking about him ruling. My goodness. To me, that is unspeakable power. Amen. That all men will either bow to that scepter. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And they'll either bow to his scepter, or they'll die by his sword, one of the two. Amen. They'll die by that sharp two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth, which is the Word of God. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, the Word of God will judge man. Amen. And he'll either bow to that scepter through judgment, or he'll die by the sword. One of the two. Amen. I'm telling you, it'd be good to bow now, wouldn't it? Be good to bow now and get it over with. Amen. I want to say, not only is his coming so majestic that it's unspeakable, brings unspeakable fear, but it brings unquenchable joy to the earth. It says there that the whole earth, I'm trying to find my verse here, where it is in verse 1, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't like rejoicing now. You probably won't be there then. Because I'm telling you, when he comes back to this earth, the earth is going to rejoice at his coming. Amen. I'm talking about away with human rule and human law. And the law of God will rule supremely in this world. Oh, and it ought to make us happy. Woo! Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and be glad. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He that was alive and was dead, and behold is alive forevermore, has come back once again with great power to rule and reign. The Lord reigneth upon the earth, ladies and gentlemen. Let all the earth rejoice at him. Boy, when they see his glory. We've never seen glory like we're going to see. Hallelujah. Makes me want to run my head through a wall right now. Thinking about it. Him on a white horse. And his eyes like a flame of fire. And a fire going before him. Clouds and darkness around him. And the armies of heaven behind him. I believe it said armies, didn't it? I believe that's plural. Wonder who all those armies are. More than one. I'm confident one of them will be the resurrected saints 7 years before this happens. One of them may be the angels of God. Now I'm telling you, the earth could not stand. They could not. Hey, one angel of God could defeat the whole earth. And all the enemies of God. much less all the armies of heaven on white horses. Amen. Then I want to say inexpressible gladness will be to all men. The world will no longer be ruled by Satan or by heartless fate, neither by physical force or laws, but by the Lord. I'm telling you, can I say this morning? The world is in a mess. America's in a mess. We're trying to pass a law. Come on now. We're trying to pass a law now in America that we don't even realize how it's going to affect our lives. Our politicians are just hoping that they can pass something that'll work. They don't know whether it'll work or not. They're living by faith. Not faith, faith. Amen. That's right, and they're living under the rule of a man. Come on, amen. And we've got armies that, use physical force. But oh, when Jesus comes back, such inexpressible gladness will fill our hearts. It will not be man. It will not be force. It will not be the laws of man. But it will be the Lord God omnipotent reigning in this earth. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Woo! Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. Now, not only will His coming be majestic, but His coming will be with utmost conspicuousness. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, it said in verse number 6, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. All the people. I'm here to tell you that what He's going to do is not going to be done in a corner. The first time our Lord come, He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And it was only revealed by certain people. The wise men came, the shepherds came, but Herod sent men there, but only to kill. And what he did was more or less concealed to most people. He only revealed Himself, come on now, certain people. But I'm telling you, when He comes a second time, every eye, I'm going to read it in a minute, every eye will see Him. Every eye will behold Him. There'll not be one, not one in the world that will not see Him when He comes a second time. And praise God, they'll know who He is and what He's coming for. Hallelujah to God. Woo! It's not going to be done in a corner, folks. It'll be done before the entire world. I'm talking about China, Russia, all that crowd, even Iran, the men of Java Dob. Men of Job needs to go get a job, if you ask me. Amen. They said they're flying some airplanes over, putting on some war games. Be a good time while they're up in the air to do business against them. Amen. Now I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, they send their little airplanes up. All they have to do is just point a finger at them. That's all. Whoa, what power. Yes, sir, it's not going to be. Listen what it says in Revelation 1:7. He said, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him." Can you get a hold of that? When the Lord reigneth, even those that pierced Him are going to see Him. Somebody said, "How's that going to happen?" The only way I can figure out, if they died lost, He's going to have to raise them up out of hell or open up hell and let them look on Him. Now, when He said every eye Did he just mean those on the earth? Or every eye? Come on now. I'm giving you holology. I'm not so sure that our Lord will not open the windows of hell and let that crowd that crucified Him see Him coming in His power and His glory upon this earth. Amen. I don't mean it this way anymore, but I'll say it in our language. He will have the last laugh. I'll guarantee you, He'll laugh at their calamities, what the Bible said. And every eye, even those that pierced Him, and I'm satisfied those that pierced Him died and went to hell. And the only way they can see Him is God will open up hell and let that crowd that has rejected Him and cussed Him, amen. Oh yes, let them look upon Him. All His power. And I don't have Bible to prove that, but I believe that's pretty good holology. Come on in the house and help Brother Hall a little bit now. I'm preaching sweet to you. I'll be glad. I could preach blood and guts, but I'm not. Now listen to what Zechariah said about the Lord. Zechariah 12:10. He said, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they pierced. He's talking about Himself. They'll look upon me whom they pierced. And they shall mourn for Him as one mourneth for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for Him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
Amen.
Now, let me give you a little more holology on that. When He comes, Israel is finally, I'm trying to give you some prophecy now. In His first advent, Israel said, we will not have this man to rule over us. But I'm telling you, in His second advent, they didn't recognize Him as Messiah. Jews, unless they get born again, don't recognize Him as a Messiah today. Good man, good prophet, but not the Messiah. But I'm telling you, in that second advent, they're going to look at Him and say, hey, where do you get those wounds in your hands and your feet? He'll say, in the house of my friends.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you that, hey, that's going to be a dead giveaway to them who He is. I'm telling you, they're going to recognize Him as being their Messiah that they crucified 2,000 years ago. Better believe He is. Boy, I'm telling you, some strange things is going to happen. I read in a paper where a woman 12 years ago disappeared. Disappeared. She was leaving her house to go get on an airplane, and she was never seen again one day before her 35th birthday. They looked everywhere for her. They put in airplanes. They searched through water. They looked in waterways. They looked through lakes. They looked everywhere. And her automobile was missing too. That's why her parents thought maybe that she was in a body of water somewhere. They found her the other day.
Amen.
12 years later. 12 years later, 100 feet from her house, in her automobile, turned upside down in a lake right beside her house. They found her. Somebody said, what are you saying? That's a strange thing, isn't it? But I don't know if that woman was lost or saved. I hope to God she is saved by the grace of God. But I'm telling you, even that woman will see Him. Every eye will behold Him. Hallelujah to God. And I'm going to tell you, there may be a vast difference in what takes place. When He came into Jerusalem, riding on an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass, it was in Scripture that's the way He would come. Israel already knew who He was then. But I'm going to tell you how it was then. That crowd that He had healed opened up their eyes, been delivered from their sin, they begin to sing and shout, Hosanna, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that bunch of Pharisees that were lost said, hey, tell your disciples to hold their peace. And they cried out the much louder.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, I believe that's the way it's going to be the second time around. Amen to God. We're going to be crying aloud, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Israel will be crying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But that crowd that's rejected him through the year and made it through that tribulation period, I'm going to tell you what they're going to be doing. They're going to be begging the rock to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that cometh. They ain't going to be rejoicing. Those that are lost are going to be terribly disappointed.
Amen.
Show me something else.
Yep.
Hallelujah. When he comes that second time, his coming will be very conspicuous. They'll all look upon him. His coming will be to establish righteousness.
Amen.
Notice what it said in verse 2. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Now, I'm just going to mention this very briefly. Righteousness is the basis of his government.
Amen.
It rests upon righteousness. That's why God makes us righteous now.
Amen.
Righteousness will reign in the earth.
Amen.
Won't it be wonderful?
Yes,
it will. I was over at the house the other day just meditating on the millennium.
Praise the Lord.
Just meditating on a time upon earth when there's peace, tranquility, no wars, even the animal kingdom will change.
Amen.
The lion and the lamb will lay down together.
Yep.
Men will beat their swords into plowshares and will study war no more.
Amen.
And I got to thinking, won't it be wonderful to have a lion for a house pet? You just pet that little old lion. He'll just sit there and meow like a cat. Leopard, tiger, whatever you want. They won't bother you. Do you realize the Bible said that those meat-eating, carnivorous animals will eat grass during that time?
Amen.
Praise God!
Amen.
I'm saying, hey, there's peace in my heart because I've been to Calvary and been saved. And I'm glad there's coming a time when I'll live on the earth with peace all around me because the Lord reigneth. There'll only be peace in my heart. There'll be peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. In other words, men won't be fighting men no more. There'll be no more cussing and arguing and fighting in our Baptist churches. We'll shake each other's hands, slap each other on the back. Amen.
Amen.
Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. Bless his wonderful name. He's coming. I don't know when, but he's coming. I wish he'd come to earth. I wish he'd come right now. Somebody said, you wouldn't get the victory over the grave. So what? Praise God. I'll guarantee you I'd have a time. I'd be in that crowd hollering, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. And he'll establish his throne.
Right.
Righteousness will be the basis of his government.
Right.
Amen. That's right. Be the basis of his government. And righteousness is the foundation of his throne.
Amen.
He will sit on that throne in righteousness. Hebrews 1:8 said, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever A scepter of righteousness is the scepter what? Of thy kingdom. Scepter of righteousness. Somebody turn on these fans back there, will you, brother? I'd appreciate it. Amen. Notice this too. Not only when he comes now, not only when he, hey, I want to say secondly, that not only did I see the coming of the sovereign, but I see the conquering of the sinful.
Amen.
The conquering of the sinful. The Bible said, verse 3, a fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. He destroys his enemies. He will destroy his foes and put all opposition down and under his feet.
Amen.
Won't it be a wonderful time?
Amen.
When there will be no opposition.
Amen.
He'll put her down.
Amen.
There will be no... And by the way, woo! I won't shout on this one. I just woo! By the way, the devil will be bound for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit. Thank God we'll not have to put up with the devil for 1,000 years. I tell you, that ought to make all of us happy. The tempter is vanished. He's gone. He's in hell. No wonder there'll be peace. He's gone, buddy, and bound for 1,000 years. He'll have to be loose for a little season, but it'll just be a little season.
Amen.
Don't leave me now. But he's coming to conquer all of his enemies, and he will destroy his enemies. I want to say he'll dismay all idolaters. Look what the Bible said in verse number 7. Confounded be all they that serve graven images. That boast themselves of idols. Worship Him.
Amen.
All ye gods. Now somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? There's no people don't worship idols today. I'll guarantee you America is one of the most idolatrous countries in all the world.
Amen.
I'm going to show you why. I'm going to read you a verse. Listen very carefully. Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men that were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands. That they should not, boy, and I've never seen this before, that they should not worship devils.
Amen.
Do you believe men worship devils today? Oh, I know they do. I read, hey. I read an article yesterday where a guy that was raised up in the East was beaten by his daddy, beaten all the time, mistreated. When he was a young fella, some man molested him by a railroad track and molested him. And he grew up, got bitter on life, joined the Hell's Angels, become a drunk, and got so mean and so bad that the Hell's Angels put him out. You know what he said? He said he found God in the bottom of a liquor bottle. Found God in the bottom of a liquor bottle. And said God told him when he saw him in the bottom of that liquor bottle that, hey, that he was going to heaven. And said him and God would ride motorcycles through the clouds. Boy, and I'm older. Somebody said, hey. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about somebody whose mind is blinded by the devil. Some that is worshiping somebody or something besides my God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Man, talk about finding God in the bottom of a liquor barrel. I'm going to tell you where I found him. I found him at Calvary.
Amen.
I found him on a cross. That's where every sinner will find him, on Calvary. Look up to Calvary. Look to the cross. You'll find the glory of God at Calvary, where the Son of God suffered and bled and died and gave His life voluntarily that we might be saved by the grace of God, that we might be in that portion of people that says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir. and find him in the bottom of an old liquor barrel. Near to nobody else. We ain't going to ride motorcycles in the clouds. And you ain't going to ride them in hell either, friend. That's right. Now, he goes on to say, and idols of, and here's America, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor talk. Think America's not worshiping her idols of gold right now? Money. You right. They're going on like fools. We're borrowing money from China. We're borrowing money just to pay the interest on money that we've already borrowed. And they're talking about getting out of debt. They were not getting out of debt. I want to throw some tall theology at you. You know that commercial Babylon where men stood and bewailed and watched and said she was destroyed in 1 hour. And it describes what all was traded with her. Gold and silver and this and that. She was, hey, all the merchants of the earth shopped with her. And she was, but she went down in 1 hour. She went down. Oh, somebody said, who is that? I've thought for years, and I can't be dogmatic, but I'm telling you, I got a good idea that America may be commercial Babylon. And I'm telling you, we're going down, ladies and gentlemen. This country is going down. You can just mark that down in your little... We're going up, but America's going down. We're following the same path as all the other governments of the world have followed. Greedy, hungry after money.
Amen.
Most Americans are so maxed out on stinking credit cards, amen, they couldn't buy, bless God, they couldn't buy a corn cob pipe.
Amen. Right.
Maxed out on them.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Right. Women going to Puerto Rican. No wonder our insurance is so high. Women, would you believe insurance is paying for women to get shots, to get rid of the wrinkles in their face and get them little bumps took off their face? Insurance pays about $400 a trip for that. And it's covered by insurance. When I was a young boy growing up, if a woman had a wrinkle, bless God, you had a wrinkle.
Amen.
Now, I've got news for you. Most of the time, her old man had wrinkles too.
Amen.
So they just wrinkled her up together. Amen.
Amen.
That procedure where they go in and suck all that fat off these women, that's covered by insurance. That's right. Now, I know some people need help. I'm honest. I know some people need help. There are people that, you know, I read in the paper yesterday where a fellow that weighed 550 pounds come home from the hospital. And they set him down in a recliner, and he said, that's where I want to sit. He sat in that recliner for 2 years without getting out of it. I mean, he used the bathroom in it and everything else. His wife cleaned it up. And when they come, he got sick. And when the paramedics got there, they had to cut that chair off of him.
Right.
And then cut a hole through the wall of the house to get him out. And he died 4 hours later in the hospital.
Amen.
Now, can I say this? People like that need help.
Amen.
When they're large like that, no fault of their own, they've got thyroid problems or whatever, they need help. But I'm telling you, all this bunch of Hollywood sluts and whores and things that's going just to get rid of their wrinkles and get rid of their little tummy rolls and one thing and another so they can wear their bikinis, that's a bunch of baloney! Somebody said, well, I want to look good. Who you want to look good for? Your husband or somebody else? I read an article in the paper, made me so mad. Hey, brother Tim, who are you kneeling to? black guy wrote an article in the paper. He's always writing these articles, and he's as prejudiced as any man I've ever seen in my life, and he's a black man. And he got on a ball player, Sammy Sosa. Whoever Sammy Sosa is, said Sammy was putting on facial creams and all this and all that. Talking about, said, and had a picture of him. Said Sammy almost said he didn't like Dominican Republic brown. Said he almost looked like white. Said Sammy said it was just a cream to make his skin soft. He said he ain't fooling me. Said he was trying to turn white. He said I've never figured out in my life why a white, why a black man would want to put on cream to be white.
Amen.
But you know what? He never said one thing in this world. He never said one criticism. He didn't criticize one bit about these women that burn up their bodies in tanning booths to try to be black.
Amen.
Praise God. Hey, if you're black, stay black. If you're white. God made you that way. What makes a difference? It don't matter to God. God made us that way. I'm not crawling up in no tanning booths. I've got enough physical problems without skin cancer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to run that rabbit track. I'm going to say number three, and I'm trying to hurry along here. Say number three, that he care, hey, his care for the saints. Look at verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. He preserveth the soul of his saints. May I say that the soul of man, the saints of God, are immortal. Until their work is done. Or until God has fulfilled the work he wants to do on them. Now you'll get a hold of that after a while. God's working in your life and on your life to make you a vessel that is pleasing in His sight. And you're not going anywhere out of this world until He gets you where He wants you. And if you do go out, then you'll be in real trouble. Rome said a mouthful. You appear at the judgment seat empty. I'm telling you, God's going to do it. If you're saved, you might as well mark this down. He's going to do a work in your life whether you want Him to or not. He has already predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Already. Now, I didn't say predestinated to be saved. I said predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. The saints have. Those that are saved. And predestinated to be that way. And if you're not, hey, if you're not going that way, then you might be going the wrong way. I said in Sunday school this morning, Brother Joel got up and done a good job on charity, on the fact of it, we're not puffed up. Charity doesn't puff us up. And here's what I told the class when he got done. I said it wasn't even the lesson so much it got me. But when he read down through the text, he said charity is not unseen, does not behave itself unseemly. And when he read that word, hey, charity is not unseemly. It just like it ripped my heart out. That, hey, that's talking about our behavior. It doesn't do anything unsightly. Anything that would be wrong. Love doesn't do anything that is out of character for a child of God. It's high. Faith, hope, charity. Faith, hope, charity. But of these three, charity is the greatest.
Amen.
I'm asking you today. We really got that kind of charity? Well, preacher, how'd you get off on that? Same way I get off on all rabbit tracks. God gives them to me. Amen. That's right. But I'm glad that He cares for the saints. He preserves from sin. Get this now. He preserves from apostasy. Somebody said, can a saint apostatize? No!
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the apostates are always an apostate.
Amen.
An apostate is somebody that's moved away from the truth. And the reason they move away from it, they ain't got it. The Bible said, if you're saved, you'll know the truth and it'll set you free.
Amen.
Amen. And if Christ shall make you free, you're free indeed.
Amen.
Amen. You're not going to, hey. You're not going to apostatize and move back into sin and apostasy. He preserves us from despair. He preserves us from the severest trials that we have. The soul, listen now. He said He preserveth the souls of His saints. The soul, get this now. The soul is helpless without God. You tell me one thing the soul of man can do without God. I'll tell you one thing it can do, and only one thing. It can die and go to hell without God. That's all. Do nothing. But the Bible said He preserveth the soul of His saints. Woo-wee! That soul's going to live forever, either with Christ or in hell. And He preserves it. That is, it shall not perish. It shall not perish. Aren't you glad of that? That your soul is not going to perish. God's got a seal around you. Praise God, and I'm telling you, we're sealed in such a way we're not going to, the bubble is not going to pop. Amen. My brother Don Anderson said one time, he said his mama was canning one day. Said she set some jars of green beans out of that pressure cooker and set them out there on the counter. Said they sat there a little while. Said all at once one of them jars went. Said it wasn't long till another one went. He said, "Mama, what's them things doing?" She said, "Son, they're popping." Said that lid, that little flat lid, said it's popping up. And said, when it pops up, it means those beans are sealed. I'm going to tell you, you can open. Hey, they'll stay sealed for a long time, folks. I've eaten green beans 12, 15 years old out of jars. Somebody said, surely not. Oh, yes. And if God can teach us to preserve a green bean,
amen.
Don't you?
Sure he can.
Don't you believe He preserved your soul?
Amen.
Amen.
If you believe He's got a hedge about you, we ought to rejoice over that. Hey, that the Lord that reigneth, I'm talking about the Almighty God, has got a seal around you and I.
Amen.
Let the devil rage.
Amen.
Let the heathen rage with him, friend.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Oh, do they pop down? Oh, they pop down? Okay. I'm going up. That's why I said they pop up. Now He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. This implies that we're surrounded by the wicked, and yet God delivers us. I'm closing right here. The character of the subjects of that kingdom. Every kingdom's got a subject. And they got a character. Notice in verse number 12. The Bible said, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous."
Amen.
They have a character. They are righteous.
Right.
Notice verse number 10. "Ye that love the Lord."
Amen.
They love the Lord and they hate evil.
Right. Amen.
They love the Lord and they hate evil. This follows moral necessity. They who love must hate. Somebody said, can a man love and hate at the same time? You've got to. And I'm going to tell you why. Hey, because Matthew 6:24 said, no man can serve two masters. You'll either serve the Savior or sin. One of the two. Can't serve both. And if you love Him, you'll have to hate sin.
Amen.
You'll have to hate Satan.
Amen.
We want to pat the devil on the head, bless God, and treat him like he's... I ain't patting him on the head. Bless God, I'd like to hit him around the head with a gooseneck hole or something. Now, that wouldn't bother him, though. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, Jesus is going to cast him head first into a lake of fire, friend. That's where he's going to spend all eternity. And guess what? The beast and the false prophets already going to be there. For 1,000 years, they're going to be in there. Amen. Sin is the enemy which disturbs our peace and stops the mouth of our prayers and separates us from God.
Amen.
Then know that their character, they're going to be joyful. Look at verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Listen to everyone. I'm getting ready to close. On some days you are full of music. There are some days that seem radiant above all other. When you are lifted up, there's times, though, that you're lifted up above the ordinary pattern. Now, listen to me a minute. There are times we have the joy of the Lord. But there are times that joy is lifted up.
Amen.
Above the normal that we have. Say amen or oh me.
Amen.
Amen.
Sister Gray, when I read that yesterday, I thought about 1996.
Amen.
I thought about on a Friday night that I cut in that little office back there and a bunch of them young men come gathering in there. I said, let's pray. We got to praying. Now I'm telling you, the more we prayed, it seemed like the deeper, thicker God got in that place. Son, the next thing I know, I was up on top of my desk, jumping around, praying and praising God and thanking God. We come out here in the auditorium, and it followed us all the way into this auditorium. And for practically 2.5 hours, I was on that platform. I was everywhere on my back, on my belly, jumping up and down, kicking like a cockroach. I mean, somebody said, why? I'm just telling you, I got totally beside myself.
Amen.
My joy got out of the ordinary. Somebody said, could you help it? I couldn't help what I was doing. And I wasn't about to quench the Spirit of God or grieve God. I wasn't about to.
Right.
Somebody said, you was doing it for show. That's what you think.
Wow.
I know a little different.
Amen.
Had joy. I had joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, when the Lord reigneth on this earth, will be a time of joy unspeakable. And it will be full of glory. You know why? Because it's already said in the Word of God, my glory shall fill all the earth.
Amen.
And it will. That's a big God that His glory can fill the whole earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And heaven at the same time. What a Savior is right. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Amen.
Now I want to close with this little thing I wrote down here. I said, conclusion, I wrote our final blessedness. Look at verse 11. Light is sown for righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart. Light is sown for gladness.
Amen.
And the upright in heart. Now listen to what I'm going to read to you. This is a beautiful figure. Listen carefully. This life is often a time of darkness. But it is the seed time of light.
Amen.
The dark days that we have is a wonderful time to be sowing seeds of light.
Amen.
For a child of God. When the believer is sowing dark tears, dark sighs, dark sorrows, when it's filled with trials and temptation, all is cheerless. There's no joy. There's no cheer. But these are seeds of light.
Amen.
Our sorrows, our sighs, our trials. They're seeds of light that we're sown. Seeds of light. Now, if light is sown for us, it's going to come up. Did you get a hold of that? If God sows light, it's going to come up. I said that to say this. Now I may make the statement too close. It will shine forth by and by. It may be a long winter. It may be a backward spring. And harvest time may be cheerless. But it will come up at last.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Here's what I'm getting at. That may be trouble and trial right now. There may be grief and sorrows and heartaches, and I guarantee in this crowd this morning, we're full of it. There's broken hearts and people that are grieved in here today. People that are troubled in here today. There's sorrow in here today. There's sorrow. People out there listening to me.
Amen.
There's broken hearts. There's people in temptation to sin. I've come the whole works while we're in the world. But it's during these times of darkness in our life that God is sowing seeds of light.
Amen. Amen.
And someday that light will spring up. Like the, just as getting ready to take the words out of my mouth, just like the well that springs
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
When the Lord reigneth, those seeds of life that have been sown in times of darkness will spring up.
Amen.
And the whole earth will be blossom and come forth. There will be streams in the desert. You better believe it.
Amen.
Buddy, hey, there will be joy, glory, and happiness.
Amen.
I want to say this to you, church. Hang on.
Amen.
Hold on. Now, I'm not an Armenian. I'm simply saying, stay with Him.
Amen.
I don't care what happens. Stay with Him. I don't care how bad it gets. Stay with Him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, someday the light will shine again. The light will shine again.
Amen.
Because He's sowing seeds of light in days of darkness. What a great God. And one of these days we're going to experience that.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I don't believe all that stuff is going to happen on the earth. Well, I believe the Bible.
Amen.
Now, I've told you so many times, there's a better day coming. Our best day is still ahead of us.
Amen.
Solomon said, the day of death is better than the day of birth. That's what the book says. Now, I didn't say that.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name.
Yes, bless His holy name.
I hope I didn't bore you too much. I preached about an hour and 8 minutes. Hope we didn't bore you too much. Let's stand together.